Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with you. My name is Hashima. You can open, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4. And I would like to read and to work down to chapter number 5 and verse number 10. And the title of the message is that we must all appear. And it's at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm very thankful unto the chairman here for this opportunity and for hosting us well. I'm an evangelist and a missionary. My job is to bring you the scriptures. So beginning in chapter 4 and verse number 13, I hope my English is understandable. I will try to talk slowly. In chapter 4, verse number 16 from 2 Corinthians, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. We are people of faith. And we believe in God in spite of all of our afflictions. And then Paul says that even though our outward man is perishing, he's talking to us about a kingdom that's not of this world. And we spend too much of our time occupied with this world. It's goods, riches, wealth, honor, praise of man. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So Paul's focus is not on this exterior. It is not on things which can be seen. And this must be our focus as the ministers and as the preachers of the gospel. That we tell our people that there is another world. That there is a judgment day that each of us is preparing for, that we are getting ready to meet God. But the focus on the things of this world, it is a false branch. It's a false brand of Christianity. It is not of the real deal. The promises of health and wealth and prosperity are not the real gospel. It's the real gospel has to do with another kingdom. This is what our old missionaries brought. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ brought. He said, "That the foxes have holes. I don't have anywhere to even lay my head. I own no property." The Apostle Paul, he said, "I'm homeless." Now, I'm not homeless. I have a place as to where I can rest in Abuja. But I have no flat of my own. I have a ministry. I have an occupation in the gospel, a ministry. And our kingdom, it is not of this world. If it can be promised by Satan, if it can be given unto an unbeliever, if an unbeliever can possess it, it's not the kingdom of God. But it's our inward man is renewed and strengthened by our trials. And so rather than preach a gospel, Paul says, which has no trials, everything will be okay, it's all easy, all downhill now. He's preaching a gospel that is full of trials that have been given by the Almighty God to improve us and make us better in our character. As fire purifies gold, it's sand that's in the oyster's mouth that irritates it and produces a pearl. Intense heat takes ore, which has value, but turns it through pressure into a diamond. And so our trials and our afflictions are appointed by God. And as we tell our people to expect these things and to rejoice in the midst of them in Christ Jesus, we are telling them the true gospel. And we're making them able to endure life in Maiduguri and to stand. Maiduguri is a place of intense pressure that I don't even know about, but it's an opportunity to proclaim the gospel with the joy that comes from God. Paul said the church at Thessalonica, because it was under so much pressure and affliction, yet had received the gospel with joy, it was able to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ unto the othermost parts of the world. Everybody had heard of their faith. And when Paul talks about giving, what church does he use? The church at Macedonia, 2 Corinthians 8, which was a poor church. Even our Lord Jesus, he prescribed glory unto the widow's mite. Not the abundance of the possessions, but the heart that's behind it. This is true Christianity, and it has not changed. For our light affliction, it may seem heavy in the moment, but it is but for a moment in comparison unto eternity. It is working for us. Affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And this working for us is what Paul had said previously in this chapter, that by me and you being pressed out of shape and into Christ, and by being afflicted enough to put our eyes on Christ and away from this present world, it causes us to speak the gospel by faith. And it makes many other people able to give glory unto God by what he produces out of us as he squeezes us with trials and pressures. This light affliction, is Maiduguri, is it a light affliction here with the Boko Haram? Yes, it is, says God, because it's only for a moment. And it's working on our behalf. You are privileged to suffer here. You are privileged unto be in this place and to bring glory unto Almighty God. This is a special place, and we need to change our perspective. It's okay to flee if you're being attacked, and the Lord Jesus said so. But you'll rise up and you'll go unto the next city preaching the gospel. And by the fact that the Lord has brought in the NGOs plus his security in the city, even though people are being chased out of the villages, this is a resting place to proclaim the glories of Jesus Christ, to encourage your brethren all over this world. Let them hear your voice. Let them hear your praises of the Almighty God. No complaining, no looking at the Boko Haram, but it is looking unto Christ Jesus and for the things that are not of this world. Our trials, all of them, mine and yours, are a light affliction as compared to what me and you deserve, which is eternal hell. But oh, when measured up against the far more and exceeding and eternal, it's the weight of glory. He can't even talk about it properly, but just to use language to help us understand far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. He says, weighed down with blessings forever by Almighty God. He will show forth his praises and how kindly he treats you and I forever through Christ Jesus. He'll look upon Christ and bless us forever with heaven, with the true riches of the kingdom, a joy and a pleasure that no man can even imagine. Oh, behold, it has not yet appeared yet what me and you shall be, but we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That old gospel brings glory unto God. And it's still true. Verse 18 says, as to while we do not look at the things which are seen, our troubles, our trials, our adversities, our afflictions, even ourselves, but at the things which are not seen, that kingdom of God that is shining in the face of Jesus Christ. For the things which are seen, all of them, are only temporary. House, money, car, wife, children, and the lovely things of this world that have nothing wrong with them, like a flower or like a good friendship. But the things which are not seen, these are what's eternal. This is what we need to have our people occupied with. This is what me and you need to be occupied with ourselves. Not promising them this world, but according to the testimony of God that stands firm and faithful, promising them a world that is to come, that is forever and forever, the real world where we'll be for all of eternity. That world that God will bring you and I to by his free grace alone, his power, and his Holy Spirit. The real world. The real kingdom. What this thing is really about. Christ did not come here to die and to make his people rich in this world. If he did, we would be. And I would never leave California. It's the richest place in the USA. I'm in the Bay Area with Google and Apple and Facebook and big money. But the kingdom of God is not a house and a car. It's an everlasting soul with God forever. That's the true riches of the kingdom. And these things are ours as we keep our eyes upon Christ. If we need, my brethren, to be more heavenly minded, that we might be a more earthly good. And we must grab hold of something that can't be seen in order to help these people that are in front of our faces. Their mind, their heart must be taken up elsewhere. Or how can they be encouraged in Maiduguri, in a village being persecuted where they might die if it's about this world? It's not. It's not. If it's about this world, don't ever leave California. You are a fool. But if it's about this other world, no sacrifice is too great for our master. Chapter 5 says, for we know these are things that we have been taught by God the Holy Spirit, that if our earthly house, this mere body, this tent, this thing that is only temporary, is destroyed, Here's what me and you know, that we have a building, something more substantive from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Our reward, my brethren, is super big. It's forever. And it's not temporary. It's these bodies are very temporary. The scripture even says that our Lord Jesus, he tabernacled. He tented among us. He had a temporary abode in this body. He who came from heaven, I was born into this world through the womb of the Virgin, and he took upon himself a temporary body, just a tent. But he's gone back up into the heavens with a permanent body, a spiritual body that lasts forever. And that's where me and you are going in Christ Jesus. This is just a small time. The big time is coming. This is just temporary. Eternity matters. Eternity is coming. In the U.S., it's a slogan now that Black Lives Matter. And they do, but eternity matters. And this is where we're going unto the glory of God if we have our Lord Jesus Christ in truth. And so Paul says in verse 2, that in this we groan, in this tent there's agonies, in this tabernacle there's pain, there's agony, there's heartache, there's disappointment, there's things that hurt us in life. Because God says unto Adam, because you have eaten of this tree, which I commanded you not to eat of, cursed is the ground for your sake. With the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread, and it's going to produce thorns and thistles. And unto the dust you shall return, because that's where I took you from. He's saying that you're going to get your bread through hard work, but you're going to get your bread. It's tough to trust our Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard unto walk by faith. But by faith we stand and we overcome and we conquer and we endure until the end, and we get this other kingdom that's coming. It's worth it, my brethren, to suffer for Christ. If there's any Muslim in here or anybody who hears his audio who's risking his life for Jesus Christ, it's worth it. If the rich man forsakes his riches to trust Christ, if a rich Muslim that has all the kingdom of this world at his hand, if he forsakes it and takes the pain and agony of being disowned by his family or possibly killed, he has gathered something greater unto himself in Christ Jesus. Even though in this body we groan, sir. Tell your people that they are groaning. For it's real Christianity that makes us groan. I don't have everything I want in this world. You, sir? No way. If I could snap my finger, or if every prayer I requested, it's some things I don't have right now. A beautiful wife. I saw the convoy coming. All the UN people or the NGO people, I don't know, but it had escorts and air conditioning and a nice SUV. My sister and I, we often travel by keke and by public bus. I'd love to have an SUV with AC. And security. But this kingdom that is from another world, it includes some groaning down here. Let's be honest with our people. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's not produce a fake Christianity with some false promises. Let's tell them the truth. Let's go back unto the gospel of the Apostle Paul. That's the authentic religion, and it has not been upgraded. Don't tell me it's not my portion. It's my portion to suffer in this world, says God. But I got my eye on another world that helps me and you unto overcome this world by the strength that God gives. He endured that cross looking unto God, even when God, he says, had forsaken him. And he won for us another kingdom with his blood. He shed his blood unto give us something else. And he said, if my kingdom, if it were of this world, my servants would fight. They'd pick up swords. I'd call down a legion of angels. And we would scatter our foes. And I'd rule upon a throne in literal Jerusalem. But it's a new Jerusalem. His throne is in the heavens. He said, my kingdom is not from here. And behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It isn't even meat and drink. It's nothing physical. This is the kingdom of God. And we need to get back to it, sir. And if we do, our people here, they will be blessed. And I think the people in Maiduguri will hear us. I believe so. It's enough trouble here to open their eyes. It's not from here. It's from somewhere else. And I'm going there. And the God of there is here with me right now. That's what we need. The gospel. The gospel. That's what they came and brought unto us. And they built hospitals out of compassion. And schools out of compassion. And those things help. But the kingdom is not from here. It's not from here. It's not in health and wealth. It's in my soul. No matter what happens into this tent, it's in my soul. And it's in your soul. If you're of God. The real kingdom must be preached. I'm telling you, they didn't kill the apostles for actually promising everybody everything that they wanted. And decreeing and declaring blessings that you're going to prosper. That ain't going to be your portion. Death is my portion. Thank God. That's what he's been saying. Thank God. I can't wait, he's saying, unto die. I get to go home. I'll be really clothed. I'll be really happy. I'll get to be with Jesus. Isn't that what we want? If you're with him down here, you want to be with him up there. You're not scared of going. You're happy to go. So from chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. It's my longings and my pain, Paul says. It is making me, he says, and to reach out into another world. He's saying, I want to be with God. My afflictions, and my trials and my struggles make me want to be with God. And then when you hear your people sing about heaven, oh, what a song. And their afflictions have opened their eyes, their ears, and their hearts, and they're looking into another kingdom. Then they get to sing about going to be with the Lord in church. Let that sound echo from here, sir. You have a unique opportunity. This ministry here, it was important unto me because you suffer. have a unique opportunity with our NGO to be able to go preach at some medical missions. And so some friends of mine are there in our place, and they're preaching unto Muslims who have never heard a false gospel and who have never been corrupted. And I'm envious of them, because people are turning unto them and saying, this is the truth. I want to follow it. What do I do now? You risk your life. You give your life unto Jesus. As you gather us where you can. And some brothers there are going to help them and going to pass out the phone number and the messages that are on phones and help them to gather and suffer and die in order to be with Christ Jesus. I'm envious of that. But I still think that something can be done here. That even far greater. If you stand up and preach the truth of another world, people in America, they will listen. It's the people I know back home are excited I'm here. I have to suffer just a little bit here with you, because they know what's going on with the bulk of the blood. And it's abuse. And they're too scared to come. All they think is that you might die. Is you might die. But it's worth it. My sister, to encourage the people of God is worth it. And as I was thinking about me leading you here, I had no shame if it was unto God. It's a good place at the time for Christ Jesus. Verse number 3 says, is that if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And so Paul is saying, I'm really only ready to go home because after I leave there, that's where I'm going. It's a welcome party. I'm not just going to go to be judged. I'm not going to go to be cursed. I'm not going to go to be damned. Death has lost its sting. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken it all away. All the punishment of the wrath of God was inflicted upon Christ Jesus for every believer. Is that right? That's the gospel. Verse number 4, for we who are in this tent is just something temporary. It's not even a really long time. It's just some short-lived adversity. It's a short-lived life in this world. As we groan, being burdened, here's what we really want. Not because we want to be unclothed. It isn't merely I want to die in order to escape all of the pain down here. But further clothed, and to be really clothed, that mortality, that which can die, this death I have to experience in this body, as Paul said, I die daily, it may be swallowed up with life. Paul is saying that I really want to live. And his comparison of this with that is that this is death. That's life. This little grain, after it's been sown, after it dies, it's going to sprout up into something else. And we don't know yet as to what we shall be. I already quoted. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, shall we? Utterly perfect. Utterly holy. Utterly blessed by God with the blessing of eternal life without any more sin or groaning forever. We are going to heaven when we die. So, this is not Esther complaining about the miseries of this world. No, it isn't merely, I'm so miserable, I just want to die. That was the sin of our brother Job in his murmuring. But what Paul is saying, I want to really live. I want to be clothed. I want to be with God. I want to embrace him. And I want to hold him, so to speak, in my arms. It's an imagery I have seen of the scriptures, and it's a Bible. But the Bible comes alive in the form of a person, but it's still scripture, and it embraces this white woman. And this woman embraces this word of God. And it's a good picture. But the picture I'm seeing, sir, is the embrace by God in heaven. What will it be like to get there? And to know I can never sin again. I can never be cast out. And I've made it. And then to enter into his fellowship and his warmth. Oh, Paul is saying, set your thinking on another world in the midst of all the trouble. Don't promise him that this world's gonna all work out. And ain't nobody gonna die, you're gonna get rich, you ain't gonna get sick, it ain't your portion. Don't promise them that. Paul did not. He promised them heaven. He promised them a God with them to comfort them. He promised them a God who is using your afflictions for your good. Let's make heaven our gospel instead of earth. Verse 5 says this. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. He's the one that saved us, you and I, by his grace and by his glory. He's the one that predestined us and redeemed us by his blood. He's the one that actually sent us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise. If the Spirit came into your and my life, because Jesus died upon the cross alone. He said, I go back unto the Father, and I'll send you another helper, even the Spirit of truth. And that I go away unto prepare. And if I go, I will come back unto you. And he's talking about in the Holy Ghost. And this text says, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. It's because you and I were elected by God. He chose us to be with Christ. He chose us not to die in our sin. He hath sent forth the Spirit into our hearts as to whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit is the guarantee. It's the Spirit who shows us Christ and gives us the comfort of the gospel is the guarantee that we shall be in paradise when this is all over. Too much talk of the Holy Spirit, sir, is Hashimina Too many people think that that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. It's not. And you can check this yourself, and I think you already know it. In Acts 2, when they spoke in tongues, it was other known languages, right, sir? It was as if I could speak in Hausa, or I could speak in Hebrew. That gift is not here right now. And this hush, too many people put confidence in that as if I've got the Holy Spirit and they're living for this present world. When the Spirit takes our eyes towards our Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom that's not of this world, that is found in Him. That's the gospel. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And to give assurance and to give a guarantee and to give the comfort of God inside of us. The Spirit quickens us. He gives us life. He gives us an understanding. Not just babbling gibberish, a holy life. That's what Paul is saying. He's the guarantee I will make heaven. He's the down payment that's in my soul, which is the guarantee I'm going to get to where I'm going with safety. Even if the armed robbers, even if the armed bandits, even if the, what do they call them? Even if the kidnappers get me, the Almighty God has got a guarantee. I'm going to heaven when I die, implanted in my soul, because He prepared me in you for this. This was His eternal purpose. This was His plan A. It was our salvation. And so Paul says in verse number 6, and I'm going to end it, verse number 10, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. There's absolutely nothing I can see which is my hope and my joy and my satisfaction and my salvation, Paul says. I'm not looking unto the things of this world. I'm not looking unto anything that can be seen, Paul says, unto find the kingdom of God. It's in that light that have shined upon our heart unto give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. It's in things that can't be seen is really where a man lives if he's of God. He's not looking at things that can't be seen. He isn't even looking at himself. He's walking by faith in the riches of the inheritance. And, you know, some of you old timers here, I almost envy you. It's your race is almost won. It's almost over. And I would like to go back, sir, to be a much younger man, and to be able to serve God more faithfully in my youth. Yes, I have an ambition as something I would like if the opportunity was real. But to be an older man and almost ready unto die, don't you envy him? He's going home unto be with Christ. He's almost there. Our perspective has to be. has to be so different. We have to stop preaching this world to people. It's of no value. It's of no use. And it's nothing else. Are we willing? Let me just pause here. To preach the gospel as is, even if we've been wrong our whole life. That's what it boils down to. I was a false prophet, sir, I didn't know it. But a man came preaching truth, and I heard it clearly. And you know what I did, sir? I changed. I threw away everything I knew and began to learn the blessed gospel and preach it. No matter as to what it cost me, I just wish I had paid the price more earnestly and more clearly as a younger man, as I'm beginning to do now, because it's worth it. You have never been wrong and approached our Lord Jesus Christ and said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, help me to do better, and Him turned you away. It's never happened. It's never going to happen. If we repent, we will be happy with God. If we resist His message, which you know in your heart is true, you will perish forever, and so will all of your people, and you will give an account unto God for each and every one of those souls and each and every truth you held back. Are you willing to give it all up for Jesus Christ? He that does the truth comes unto the light, that his deeds it may be seen. This is really of God. This is really in accordance with the Bible. And that's what Paul is really saying here about get ready to meet God. The kingdom of this world, the praise of men, is not going to last forever. Money is... is going to wear out. It's not going to last forever. The praise of men will not last forever. There's a higher praise and honor that me and you are to be seeking. It's of God in the heavens. It's worth it. Verse 8 says, and so we are confident, yes, even well pleased, rather to be absent from the body. I'm willing unto die, Paul says, and to be present with the Lord and to be embraced and engulfed by Him. Therefore, since I'm ready and I know this world is coming, is real and sure. It's the true world. It's the true riches. It lasts for all of eternity. It is forever. Therefore, we, and Paul includes himself, make it our aim, our goal, our ambition, our main focus, our number one priority and ideal as to whether I'm present or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. Let me ask you a question, ma'am and sir. Who are you trying to please with your ministry? Who are you really after His praise? Who are you really looking to as your reward? Is you single? And I want to be gentle. But the false prophet thinks that he gets away with it in this world. He's the same as a hypocrite. He's the same as a sinner. He's the same as the CEO in the Bay Area, in Silicon Valley, all the rich, 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 rich power brokers, all the billionaires think that they are going to get away with it in this world, and they don't have to worry about anything in the ever after. But Paul says, this is my aim and ambition, Mark. As to whether I'm here or I'm out of here, is to please him. That's the gospel that gives God glory. Preaching every word of it. Until I die. You see, old time saints had their tongues ripped out of their mouths or screwed into their jaw just over the doctrine of baptism. After the Reformation, or even before, they were so willing to die for Christ that just over the doctrine of baptism and to go in the waters and confess Christ, they endured death and agony, even at the hands of their own brethren that weren't thinking straight on this issue. It's the Catholics would take our women and would tie them unto a tree if they're pregnant, slit them open, take out the babies, and then leave them for the wild beasts. But they would not recant. They would confess Christ unto the death because their aim was to please God and meet him in heaven. This is what we need in Maiduguri. And all over this world, a willingness unto the death. That I'm going to teach his sermon no matter what happens unto me. That's what he's saying. And I'm going to live this life for the salvation of others, Paul's saying, even if I, because this is everything. Oh, Peter, oh, Paul, why don't you slow down, Peter? Is you're an old man. You've already written 1 Peter. You've done well. You preached the next. No, he writes in 2 Peter, I'm going to soon be putting off this tent. I'm going to be crucified upside down. But I make it my aim unto tell you with my last words, make sure you're ready in all godliness. Add unto your faith. Grow in grace. And forget this licentious doctrine. Live unto the glory of God. With my last breath, he said. And that's how they died, our ancestors in the faith, at the burning stake, preaching and singing his praises. They would not stop. But we're so concerned about our churches. Sir, if we cared about them, we'd tell them the truth until they stoned us. If we really loved them. No, we're concerned about ourselves. Doesn't it make you ache? I beg you to be with me. And to lead me, you show me the way to go. You take the front. Preach it with power. I'll say amen to you. Stand. I'll sit down. But I beg you. I really beg you. Don't tell your people lies. Tell them the truth. Until you die. Or get out the pulpit. But if you're serious, oh, what a reward in heaven. And you're making your people ready to meet God. It's the last verse, verse number 10. For we must all, every one of us, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul was actually beating his body into subjection for a reason, as he would not assume. Oh, I preached a few nice sermons. I've served for a few years. Paul was not assuming. He said, I beat my body into subjection, lest after having preached unto others, I myself should be a castaway. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. I can't put this all on imputed righteousness, Paul says, in the body, according to what he has done, if he has been faithful or not, whether good or bad. Let me talk to you for just a minute or two on this last judgment, and I'll be done. As I believe the scriptures are clear, our sins are clear. If we are in Christ, everything wrong that we have done is forgotten by God. It's not going to be brought up at the judgment. There will be no weeping saints in heaven except those who weep in joy. It'll be no more tears. It'll be no more sorrow. It'll be no more looking back in the past. But what will remain is every good deed that you've ever done. And our works, my dear sister, are not going to lead our way into heaven. That's the precious blood of Christ. That's acceptance in him. But the Revelation chapter 14, 13 says, and their works do follow them. And so my access into paradise, as I stand at that great judgment throne, is that I'm found written in the Lamb's book of life. There's another book opened whose blood of the Lamb it has been slain, and they are accepted by the eternal and almighty God, an entrance into heaven, a glorious entrance. And I think that that thief on the cross, if there's any levels, is going to be one of the happiest people in heaven. And to know I almost did nothing but die in faith. I almost did nothing, but at the last hours of my life, he redeemed me. And if you've been living wrong, he can make you right now. He can wash the path and give you a new start and make you faithful now. It's not too late. And everything that you've done wrong, it can be a testimony that he takes people out of the pit and he uses us now. And they will hear you. But when that thief in the cross sees how many people are in heaven after they heard a sermon about him looking unto Jesus and his last words, Lord, remember me. And how they were encouraged unto come unto Jesus Christ. And he sees all the saints in heaven that actually know about him and got encouragement from him. He's going to be happy on top of happy. On top of happy. And our good works, just the privilege of having done something for Jesus Christ, no matter how small it seemed, even a cup of cold water, just the remembrance that I did this for him, it's going to make our souls thrill on top of the thrill of being there. We shall all stand. I'm going to stand there. You go stand there. And you're going to stand there with me. And I'm either going to say, praise God and hallelujah, brother. I helped you on your way. And you helped me. Or I'm going to say, and depart ye into everlasting fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. Because we shall judge angels and we shall judge this world. It's either in or out. all of the way in or all the way out. I'm living for another kingdom and another world. To please God is my ambition. That's what Paul is saying. Let us be like him. Let us be with him. And let us surrender all. Let us be the chief of sinners who repents. Let us preach the gospel.